seen. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 10 past 8, the morning show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Monday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. I am so happy to be connecting today on the morning show with Dr. Deborah Ford, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. This follows on the heels of interviews with her counterparts at both Gateway and Carthage. For Carthage, we didn't speak with President John Swallow, but spoke with someone who was kind of instrumental in putting Carthage's commencement exercises together. We did speak directly with Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College, and today Chancellor Ford, as UW-Parkside reaches the end of probably one of the more challenging academic years in its history. And that's, of course, nothing unique to Parkside. It's the whole world of education, along with just about every other arena of life and of a human endeavor, has been challenged to the max by the COVID-19 pandemic. Parkside has emerged triumphant, at least for the most part, and they have just completed a remarkable celebration of their 52nd spring commencement with what I understand to be the largest graduating class in Parkside history. And so we're going to be talking about all that and more, and about the promise of the future with Chancellor Ford. Chancellor Ford, in your busy schedule, I appreciate you making time for the morning show. We welcome you.
Well, Greg, it is always a delight to be part of the morning show and to be able to share the things that are happening at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. And thank you for inviting my higher ed partners to talk about the impact that we make here in Southeast Wisconsin. And of course, could not be happier with the outcomes of the 2021 academic year in celebrating our largest class of graduates in university history. And I was thrilled a year ago when the class of 20, which would have been our sort of honoring our 50th anniversary of the first class, the 1970 class, that the class of 20 was the largest. And we weren't sure. And early indications were that the class of 21 would be a little smaller. But as more and more students completed the degree application process, we realized that indeed, during the years that we've experienced the pandemic, UW-Parkside has graduated the most graduates in our history. And building on the momentum, making progress on our bold goal to increase the number of graduates. But this really translates to preparing the talent that our thriving region and really our country needs. Mm. And so again, couldn't be happier, more proud of our faculty, our staff, and our students in demonstrating their resiliency and their adaptability and really their compassion for making the best of some very challenging circumstances over the past 15 to 18 months.
Yeah. Before we talk about how Parkside chose to celebrate commencement, which of course could not be a commencement in the conventional sense. I mean, it was a commencement, of course, but not a normal commencement celebration. I think we should spend a little time talking about this academic year just completed and maybe highlight some specific examples of the innovation and ingenuity and resourcefulness and tenacity and everything else that was demonstrated by faculty, staff, and students alike to emerge intact from such a challenging year. You and I and a couple of other people at Parkside had a couple of different conversations last summer talking about preparations for this academic year. For instance, questions like, where are we going to put people? How are we going to be able to achieve physical distancing and manage to continue to deliver education, but in a way that will keep everybody safe, those receiving the education, those delivering it? First of all, I'm just curious to know how the carefully laid plans of the summer played out when it came to the actual school year. I mean, did the plans so carefully laid end up being sufficient, or did those plans have to, in any significant way, be sort of revised along the way?
So, great question, and I love that you're leading this with thinking about the innovation and ingenuity that our faculty and staff really deployed during the pandemic year. And so, I guess in order to answer the question, I would say that yes, our plans were effective, but I think one of the most important aspects of our planning during this COVID environment, it has been the willingness to adapt and to evolve as circumstances changed and as the global health crisis really changed and as we learned more about COVID-19 and its impact on our learning environments and our personal lives. But also, as vaccines became available, and so we were able to make some significant changes. And Greg, I think it's important for me to remind our listeners today that when we started our planning related to the pandemic, we set three very important goals. And the first goal was to protect the health and safety of our learning community. The second goal was to deliver our academic mission. And the third goal was to do our part as individuals and as a learning community to reduce the spread of COVID-19. And we implemented the health protocols in accordance with CDC and state guidance, and of course with the Board of Regents. We set up our classrooms and our environment here to be socially distanced. It is still that way. We are hoping to make those modifications this summer for what we would consider a more traditional environment for fall, which I know we'll talk about as well. We unfortunately did not have events on campus. And I will tell you that is something that I am very much looking forward to, hopefully in this next academic year, to bring more people back to campus. But about between 35 and 40% of our courses were offered face-to-face. And 60% were offered virtually, and that fluctuated a little bit. And again, what our faculty were able to do was remarkable, and how our students adapted to those modifications certainly is evident in graduating the most students in our history. I would like to share a few examples of some things that how our faculty adapted, if that would be okay. So I'm going to start with this one. Dr. James Kinchin, who you know really well, and he also was recognized by the, I want to make sure I get this right, the Wisconsin Choral Directors Association with the prestigious Morris D. Hayes Award. And Dr. Kinchin had a pop-up concert at the end of the academic year a few weeks ago to be able to have our students share their beautiful choral music, and they were in Main Place, and you could hear the music throughout the academic concourse here at UW Parkside. Mm. Our theater department live streamed all of their productions this last academic year and actually stood up the College of Arts and Humanities production team and studio. And amazing. I invite our listeners to visit the UW Parkside website to see these performances. They were all masked. And again, just remarkable performances, but also in alignment with the COVID health protocols. We also had our quick pitch competition via live stream and virtually. We had our student showcase where our students presented their research across the disciplines with primary focus certainly in the natural and health sciences. That was conducted virtually for the past 2 years. Our the communication week, they rather than have that in person in a series of speakers, they adapted that to a virtual format as well. So our faculty really embraced how do we keep some of the important traditions and aspects of learning and the experiential aspects of really a UW Parkside education at the center of how we adapt during the COVID environment. The other part I would add is that some of the things that we have learned is we will keep, we've learned a lot during this pandemic year, and we've modified our more of our classrooms to do live streaming and implemented some new technologies. And again, our faculty really embraced their responsibility in learning the new technology. So kudos to them, kudos to our students, and really to our entire campus team. Hmm.
One question that I don't remember asking back last summer when we were talking about your preparation for this now completed academic year was the layout of Parkside's wonderful physical facility. I'm talking about your big sprawling main building where nearly all of your classes are taught and so on. If the layout of that facility lent itself relatively well to what you needed to do in terms of creating the necessary physical distancing and so on, I ask that because I think certain institutions of higher learning, and for that matter, just public elementary schools, for instance, if you happen to be in a building constructed in such a way that was nice and cozy, then suddenly you have a situation which is just untenable when you have an epidemic and you need to create physical distancing. For Parkside, not to minimize how challenging it was, but the fact that you had kind of the room you did overall, was that helpful for the cause in terms of keeping people safe?
Well, I think I would describe UW Parkside's physical layout as cozy and personal. And many of our classrooms are smaller, right? 20 to 30 students in a classroom, it's a square. And to be able to have 6 foot social distancing as a radius creates some challenges in how you bring students and faculty together. So we were able to, I would say, repurpose the ballroom here at the university, which many of your listeners visit for events and celebrations and meetings. Well, that for the past year has been two classrooms and set up differently to accommodate, again, face-to-face classes. Our cinema, the home of the long-standing foreign film series, has been a classroom and a meeting space for large gatherings. And then many of our classrooms have been repurposed. If you walk into those now, because we're in the process of a transition this summer for hopefully a more traditional experience in fall of 2021, there are stickers that say, you can sit here, don't sit here. Rows are blocked off. And so it's very different. The concourse, some of the furniture has been removed for social distancing. And on tables, you know, it says one person at a two top table, two socially distanced at a four top. And I think the other modification I think that you would see is certainly in the labs on campus as well. So many of the labs, scientific labs, they maintained in-person work during the past academic year. But again, students were not right next to each other at the benches. You know, they were certainly separated. So we adapted. And then for the small classrooms that we were not able to repurpose for instruction, we reserved those for independent study and for meeting spaces for faculty and students, because the offices that many of our faculty members have are small, and we wanted to maintain that 6-foot social distance. So we really tried to think, what were the needs of our learners, and how do we use really our physical infrastructure to make those modifications.
I'm really glad you said that, because you know, I think a lot of people, when they think of Parkside, they think of those spectacular concourses in which people move, and they are so beautifully spacious with windows on either side, and it just feels so open and wonderful. But you are absolutely right. When it comes to the actual learning spaces, many of those are actually quite intimate, and of course, that's the kind of thing that can be a real big issue. One other thing about the physical plant, I have a friend who teaches at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater and in the music department there. And my understanding is very late in the game, they discovered, kind of to their horror, that the air exchange rate in this relatively new building was not nearly what had been earlier estimated. And at the last moment in the summer, they were frantically scrambling to sort of restructure how they were going to do things, because they had rooms that did not have the air exchange that had been originally but incorrectly ascertained. And that was kind of a lesson for a lot of us in the importance of air exchange. And I'm hoping that when it came to Parkside, that air exchange rates, something that probably none of you had ever spent a moment thinking about, were such that you were able to fully utilize just about all of your spaces.
Absolutely. And I'm going to make sure you know that John Brooke, who leads our facilities department, he was thinking about this and made sure that, again, early last summer, so about a year ago from right now, he was looking at what modifications we needed to make in terms of filters, in terms of air exchange, and how do we provide really an optimal environment to, again, reduce the spread of COVID-19. And, you know, the good news is that based on our testing that we did regularly, thank you, President Thompson, for bringing resources from the federal government for us to be able to do surveillance testing of our residential students in the fall. And then, of course, all of our students, faculty, and staff in the spring semester. And then having community testing available, again, free for our community, which continues even today. We're going to continue that this summer. We'll have testing available for COVID-19. And so that was really important. Another piece of information on air exchange and sort of the utilities and heat and air conditioning and how that works. UW Parkside is undergoing a significant renovation of Wiley Hall. And certainly Wiley Hall was named in honor of our founding chancellor, Irv Wiley. And so when folks return to campus, they are going to be greeted with a new entrance and a new look in the library on the L1 level. We're still under construction in the D1 level. We will enhance our student success offices and operations, and it is coming along nicely. And then on the D2 level, where the air exchangers for Wiley Hall are located, they are all being replaced from the 1970s technology to today's technologies. And that is opportunity here, you know, to maintain the quality of our physical learning environment. And I can't wait to showcase these new spaces. And if anybody wants to go down into the D2 level and see the new air exchangers, let me know, because it's, and you can see the progress. And we have some local contractors with Pomozi and Lee working on this project. So a lot's happening at Parkside. I can't wait until folks can come back and see it.
Wonderful. For those of you just joining us on today's morning show, it's my pleasure to have back on the program Dr. Deborah Ford, who is Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, Gateway's neighbor just to the north, and Carthage's neighbor just to the west. And we're talking about the academic year just completed. And now we're going to be talking about the 52nd spring commencement at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, which took place on May 15th, an event in which Parkside graduated its largest class of graduates, something like 566, if I remember correctly, from the news release that I saw. So, first of all, take us inside the discussions that I'm sure took place beginning, I'm sure, many months ago in terms of how to have commencement. And I suspect that one of the interesting, difficulties maybe with that discussion is the fact that commencement occurred at a point when things were beginning slowly to open up again. And I'm sure there were probably different perspectives on how open, how public, how normal could this commencement celebration be. Help us understand, first of all, who was part of that discussion and kind of the shape of that discussion over the last few months.
Yeah, really good questions. And it really starts with a goal and a vision, right? And as you know, at UW-Parkside, many of our students are the first in their family to graduate from college or university. And so commencement is this culmination of their success, not only for them, but for their family members. And we started talking several months ago about how do we have a celebration in a COVID environment that really helps our students to celebrate their success and their academic journey at UW-Parkside. So our commencement committee, led by Julie Lee in our provost office and Rhonda Kimmel in our registrar's office, along with a number of other colleagues, including our deans and their assistants, and certainly the administration began to think, what could we do? And so we agreed that we would do a virtual ceremony, very similar to what we were able to do in for our December commencement. And the College of Arts and Humanities production team live streamed the event. And again, I could not be more proud of what they were able to do. And the provost and I delivered our remarks live on Saturday morning, May 15th, from Bedford Hall. And oh, the set, everything just, it was magical, I just have to say. And then prior to that, they recorded the Parkside Range for their song that they showcased. They also recorded comments from all of our deans and their reflections and their message to the graduates of their respective colleges. And then of course, our Chancellor's Award recipient and her remarks to her fellow graduates, Jessica Myjack, and who's a double major in math and economics. And the good news is she's staying in the region and already has a job. So this virtual celebration came together. And then we said, what can we do within the COVID health protocols to allow our graduates to come to campus, wear their caps and gowns, pick up their diploma covers, take some professional photos, and engage, you know, with their respective colleges. So the deans and their assistants, along with the commencement committee, said, well, let's do this at four different locations across our campus. And so the College of Business, Economics, and Computing, they held their ceremony in the Sport and Activity Center. And so you checked in, you received a gift, the dean presented your diploma cover and with a photo, and then we had a professional photographer that took photos as well. And then you were at that college, you came by major. Then the College of Arts and Humanities and our College of Social Science and Professional Studies presented their diplomas and graduation celebration on the main stage in the Rita. And students' names were called, they crossed the stage, and they mostly reported by major. and we were able to showcase their names, you know, on the screen, on the stage, again, making it a little more personal. And then our College of Natural and Health Sciences had their celebration on the sidewalk, sort of under the bridge between the Student Center and Molinaro Hall. So the best part for me and members of the administration and our faculty is that we had a chance to visit all of the locations. And students were able to bring up to 2 guests, again, to maintain that social distancing, and come in person, again, receive their diploma cover, meet with their faculty. And Greg, let me tell you, one of the most amazing parts of this was seeing our students who had, for many, been in a virtual environment for over a year, see each other for the first time face to face. And, you know, you just can't underestimate how important these opportunities to gather again face to face are and will be over the next several months. And I give kudos to the deans, their assistants, the commencement committee, for really thinking about our students and their success, because that's what was most important. And it was a wonderful day. I stayed all day, met many of our graduates. I couldn't be in 4 places at once, but I did make it to every single location and talked to our graduates, talked to their family members. Even I was photographer a few times, to help them celebrate and capture these memories. And we are looking at what could we do for the class of 20, for our graduates of May 20 and December 20. So we're looking to survey our grads and what would they like to do for something in person, possibly. And but they have received their diploma covers, and we had a program, a printed program, and listing all of their names. It's also virtual. So we tried to keep things as special as possible, because graduating from UW-Parkside is a big deal.
As you're describing this, and it sounds just lovely and also exciting and appropriate, and I mean, it sounds like it was really, really well conceived. I know at Carthage that one of the things that I heard from a number of different graduates, I suspect you probably heard from some of your graduates and their families as well, is that this kind of a commencement, where you don't have thousands of people gathered in a room and a lot of people at a faraway stage, that's one thing, but that this kind of commencement was far more intimate and personal. And I think I never would have dreamt that there could be that kind of a silver lining. But I heard that over and over again at my little station where I was volunteering as one of the hosts to, I heard that again and again. And it prompts the question of whether or not you think any of these elements of this most recent commencement should possibly be retained in future commencements when it's safe again to have huge crowds. Is it a little premature to be having those kind of conversations, or are they already taking place?
I would say we heard very similar feedback, right? You were able to show up, and you got in line, and you walked through, and it was very special and personalized for you and your family members. And I would say that our wheels were turning as we were watching the day unfold. How might we use what we're learning here and reflect on incorporating that into future commencement celebrations? So I know the members of our commencement committee, I believe they meet next week. They took this week off. We've got thank yous to do, and they'll meet next week and begin to think, okay, what are some of the things we'd like to retain? What did we learn from these the way we adapted commencement. But one thing that's important to note is that for our December 2021 graduates, we will have the opportunity to celebrate in a fully remodeled DeSimone Gymnasium. And right now, the old bleachers are finally out of the building. And from the 1970s, and again, we're modernizing to a, you know, full university environment and a 21st century look with the help of many, many sponsors across our community, and very excited about that renovation. And so no matter what, commencement will be different because it will be in a newly renovated venue with some new features. So stay tuned, Greg, to determine how we will celebrate student success in the future.
Fantastic. By the way, it just occurred to me, I hadn't thought I would ask you this, but it occurs to me that one big decision, that one big difference between, for instance, Carthage and versus Parkside is that Parkside is part of this marvelous, sprawling statewide university system. And that although I know each of the specific campuses are granted a certain amount of autonomy, you also are part of a system, and there is a certain amount of governance that occurs from the top. When it came to, for instance, the matter of how to put together commencement, were there certain restrictions that were, in a sense, imposed from on high, that all of the campuses of the state system had to adhere to? Or by and large, were each of you free to kind of create whatever commencement celebration you thought was most appropriate for your setting?
Yeah, this is something we've talked about in our conversations over the past several months, about how much autonomy we have at UW-Parkside. And one of the strengths of the UW system is the uniqueness and of each campus, and how each campus particularly serves its region locally, but has a more global and national impact. So for us, again, we had the flexibility and autonomy to plan a commencement ceremony that fit with our campus culture and our campus environment. And they were all very, very different. Madison was able to have, I believe they hosted their graduates at Camp Randall without guests. So everybody did it a little differently based on their physical facilities and their staff capabilities and really what was happening across their region. But I am, again, so glad that we had the foresight to say, okay, let's plan as if there will be, that the vaccines will make an impact and we will be able to bring people together safely. And that worked really well for us. Again, it was a great day. I would say that the cloud or the aura of the commencement is still here on our campus.
For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking with Dr. Deborah Ford, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside. We've been talking about the academic year just completed and Parkside's 52nd spring commencement, which occurred on May 15th, with its largest graduating class ever. And again, that's a real hallmark of the tenacity of your students and faculty and staff, that you were able to achieve that at a point in time when I know many other schools did not experience that, experienced actually just the opposite. So congratulations to all of you responsible for that. Earlier in the conversation, you remarked on some of the air exchange changes being made, and I know that also some extensive renovation is underway at Parkside, I think, even as we speak. But I think, at least for the most part, renovation that would be pretty much invisible to the casual passerby, because it involves, I think, for the most part, Parkside's underground, if you will. Would you mind just telling us a little bit about what is underway right now in terms of this renovation?
Absolutely. And there are about $54 million worth of improvements happening at Parkside.
Wow.
And first, the biggest one is certainly the Wiley Hall project, where really replacing all of the air handlers and air exchange system, and then doing some modifications of our D1 level, which houses our student success offices and enrollment services offices. And that would be in the lower main place. We're also making accessibility better. And then we'll be making some modifications to the beautiful skylight in the facility. So a lot of things happening in Wiley Hall. And then of course, the L1 level of the library has been renovated, and the circulation desk has been moved, and a beautiful new gathering space has been created, and a coffee venue will now be a part of our library starting this fall. So I invite folks to come on out, and certainly as we get all of this open in time for the fall semester. And Greg may want to have John Brook and Tammy McGuckin and Anna Static, who are leading this effort on our campus, for one of your shows to talk about the vision behind this project and the work that's happened. We also are doing some continued renovations in our Sport and Activity Center. We have installed a golf, the Mark Olson, in honor of our former golf coach, the Mark Olson Golf Simulation Center. We also have repurposed what was our pool. It is now the Rick Hilps Turf Center, and that will be opening up this summer. And then, of course, as I mentioned earlier, the D. Simone Gymnasium is getting a makeover as well, with new bleachers and some new spaces that will be really great for watching the Rangers in action starting out this fall. And then one project that I really should mention is the utility tunnel project. So if you were on the east side of the campus near Wood Road, you will notice that a lot of dirt moving, and they are improving the utility tunnel. And then another project that we will do this summer is install the upgrade the fire safety suppression system on our campus. And most of these projects are funded by the state of Wisconsin. So I thank our legislators and the governor for their support of our learning environment and the infrastructure. And then of course, some private donors and friends of the university are making our projects possible as well. So a true team effort to enhance the learning experience for students, faculty, staff, and of course, our community.
Wonderful. Can you just explain, I've just found it kind of fascinating that there are tunnels. Do they serve any particular purpose?
Oh, absolutely. So there's a tunnel from the academic concourse. It's between Molinaro and GreenQuest, and the tunnel goes all the way to the power plant on Wood Road. And I've walked about a quarter of it. I have not been all the way through. But it is, you know, you can walk through there, and over time, you have to go in and do some work on the outside of that, you know, to protect that because it, you know, corrodes and erodes over time. And so we're enhancing that infrastructure. And that is how the steam and chilled water certainly heats and cools the campus. And then there are also other utilities in terms of electric, and certainly technology and telecom that runs through there as well.
Wow.
Things that you didn't think a chancellor knew about, but yes, I've actually been in the boiler room.
I am deeply impressed.
And I've been to the roof.
Yes,
I've been on the roof.
Well, and those are all things that also matter, and it just underscores that when you're talking about a complex university campus or college campus, you're talking about all kinds of things, and not just desks and blackboards, but also that the whole physical plant that is so essential. And in some respects, in this time of COVID, we're coming to a new appreciation for the significance of a lot of those things. So,
yeah, and can I add one thing to that? Because yeah. I think it's so important in that much of the work, as you said, is things you can't see, but you would know if it didn't work. Okay. And so a big shout out to our facilities maintenance team and our custodians, because those folks never left campus during COVID. They were here to make sure that the physical environment was not only maintained, but was enhanced with these sanitization and these health protocols. So a big shout out to them and their contributions here at UW Parkside and of course at Carthage and Gateway as well.
Right, on the front line for sure. So as we've touched on, the dark cloud of COVID, although by no means entirely lifted, is beginning to lift to some extent, and something at least vaguely resembling the old normal is slowly but surely beginning to return. And for Parkside, of course, we're talking about this next academic year. So at this point in time, what is the plan for the next academic year? Is it for, at least for the most part, a return to delivering education as it had been delivered pre-COVID, or not quite to that extent yet?
So our plans are to be more like the fall of 2019 than the fall of 20. And so our schedule was posted in April. Students are registering for what we hope to be more face-to-face classes and hope to be about 75 to 80% face-to-face. We would normally have about 20% virtual anyway, and that is a growing aspect of our learning environment. And then we are reviewing how we might have events, both campus events and community events on campus as well. And then certainly reviewing the modifications to the health protocols and how they enhance our campus community. So this is a year of, or a summer of transition. And over the next few months, we'll be bringing more employees back to campus from their virtual work environments. And we want to focus on this as a process, not as an event. Because again, as I mentioned, bringing people back together is a big deal when we've been apart and we've been sort of told to be apart. So how we do that and how we bring people together and how we facilitate that and encourage, you know, that socialization again is really important to starting our fall 2021 semester.
So at this point in time, who is permitted to, for instance, walk into the main building at Parkside and walk down the academic concourse? I mean, are there still restrictions in place? I mean, if I drove to Parkside and walked in the door, would I be taken away in handcuffs? I'm being a little facetious here, but I mean, the presence of outsiders outside of the Parkside community, is that still restricted at this point in time, or have at least most of those restrictions been lifted?
We of course have folks coming and going, right? And we will be announcing soon about our visitor policy that is under review. This is our week between the spring semester and the summer semester. And so our, what we called the Ranger Restart website is being repurposed to the Ranger Recovery website. So everything is shifting as we begin the summer. And we, of course, are not going to, I don't think, turn people away, but we ask folks to follow the health protocols that we have in place on campus when they do visit. And of course, I would invite listeners to visit the beautiful outdoor environments of UW Parkside. I can tell you that there are folks using the cross country course. They're playing disc golf because I can see the disc outside of my window. And I know folks are enjoying our campus, and that is one of the things I look forward to most is bringing our community back to our campus because we are, you know, the university for the community, and that's so important to us.
And that's, of course, been one of the most impressive and proudest legacies of UW Parkside for as long as I have been here, is the exceptional lengths to which you have gone to welcome the community to your campus and to engage with the community in a lot of impressive ways. Before we let you go, we just have maybe 2 or 3 minutes left, but are there any exciting plans for the future that you want to at least briefly highlight for our listeners?
Well, I think I would end with what I'm looking forward to. And because there's a lot of exciting things happening that I certainly talked about in terms of our learning environment, the enhancements, building on the momentum of celebrating the largest graduating class in our history. It just gets better from here. But I am so looking forward to having more students and faculty and staff on campus. I've been on campus since August, almost full time. And I am ready to have, you know, more people here with us as we transition this summer. I am looking forward to hosting community events. We are looking forward to showcasing the exceptional talent of our students and having the RITA active and full again. And I think the other piece is I am really looking forward to those informal conversations that we have on the concourse that our faculty have before and after class with our students. And just really looking forward to, I would say, building on the momentum and the things that we have learned during, you know, one of the most challenging years that has impacted all of us. And so again, kudos to our faculty, staff, and students for what they have done. It is an honor to be a part of this learning community and this broader community and to be able to lead UW-Parkside.
Dr. Debbie Ford, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, you and your colleagues have a lot to be proud of, and we congratulate you on making it through this academic year so successfully and so safely, and for the festivities of your 52nd spring commencement, the largest class in Parkside history. And I'm always happy to have you on the morning show and look forward to our further conversations. Very best wishes to you.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Tomorrow on the morning show, Michelle Miller Adams, who has done extensive research into a phenomenon that might strike some as a new and perhaps even radical idea, but it's actually an idea that has been around for a long, long time. The concept of free college, that is, of making college available essentially free of charge to many people. And this is often extended through various programs with the name Promise and Gateway Technical College is one such institution which offers to certain people the Gateway Promise. Anyway, Michelle Miller Adams has done extensive research into this phenomenon as it has played out more recently and has written a really interesting book about it called The Path to Free College in Pursuit of Access, Equity, and Prosperity. And you'll hear my interview with her on tomorrow's morning show. On Wednesday, a look at the Kennedy family, and specifically Jack, Bobby, and Ted Kennedy, and the way in which they viewed the world and helped to shape our country's foreign policy. Lawrence Haas's very interesting new book is called The Kennedys in the World, How Jack, Bobby, and Ted Remade America's Empire. On Thursday, I'm just delighted to welcome back to our studios
Dr. Art Sear, Clawson Distinguished Professor of Political Economy and World Business at Carthage College and Director of the Clawson Center, offering analysis of current events. And by the way, it looks like Professor Sear will join us in the studios of WGTD. That'll be the first time we have had a live guest in the studios for the morning show in 14 months. I am excited.